Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being here this afternoon. The YouTube live chat poll, Annie Fry YouTube channel, youtube.com/@AnnieFry. We are asking you today, will Pete Hegseth be confirmed as Secretary of Defense? Yes or no? Moving into his confirmation hearing that has wrapped on Capitol Hill for today, I believe, or at least for now. Moving into this, there was the thought that we were going to have the votes. The 53 Republicans, one way or the other, were going to come out with a majority. And Pete Hegseth would be confirmed. He has faced a lot of questioning and, you know, a lot of flattery and also a lot of concern from Republican Democrat on this hearing. And it's been really interesting to watch. And like I said earlier in the show, it has been so incredible to hear Pete Hegseth saying the things about the military once again that at first make you go, oh, my gosh, are we saying these types of things out loud? Why, yes, we are. Pete Hegseth certainly is, as he works to be the Secretary of Defense. Let's get to our guest. Jim Carafano joins us once again. Perfect timing to be able to have you on the show. Senior Counselor to the President and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, welcome back. Always good to have you.
And you forgot, official Pete Hegseth fanboy.
Okay, good. I wanted to hear. I want to open up the floor to you. Your reaction to his performance, per se, in front of that Senate committee hearing today.
Well, I mean, I do think we saw one of the greatest strengths that Pete would bring to the position, which is really the ability to speak for the administration with kind of clarity and purpose. And I think it's something that will serve him well, not just speaking internally to the military, which I think a lot of people will be admired and inspired by him. I actually think he'll be the best recruiting tool the Pentagon could ask for. But I think externally to allies and partners and adversaries, he is somebody that will speak with a clear and compelling voice. So all the other things that, well, you know, you may not have a lot of experience in working in the Hill and in running in the Pentagon. You can hire people to do all those things. But I think being both an inspiring leader and a person who already enjoys both the confidence and trust and alignment of vision with President Trump, I think that's I think would be quite.
Did we lose him?
He's still there.
I'm gonna put him on hold and see if is Ethan out there. He can check on it. Sounded like his connection might have just had a little trouble there. I want to play a clip while we work on making sure that we get Jim back on the show with us from the hearing today. This is really paramount to the positioning that Pete Hegseth has had going into this confirmation hearing about the standards of military personnel. Let's listen.
Our standards will be high and they will be equal, not equitable. That's a very different word. We need to make sure every warrior is fully qualified on their assigned weapon system, every pilot's fully qualified and current on the aircraft they are flying. And every general or flag officer is selected for leadership or promotion purely based on performance, readiness, and merit. Leaders at all levels will be held accountable, and warfighting and lethality and the readiness of the troops and their families will be our only focus.
Having standards be high and equal, not equitable, is a key point for Pete Hegseth throughout this hearing and also in the way he's approached the military since he's been talking about it in his book that he was that he has written before. Senator Gillibrand from New York and other Democrat senators certainly have taken great issue with the way that he's talked about women and their role in combat in our military service. And she got pretty worked up in the hearing today.
Everything you've said in these public statements is politics. I don't want women. I don't want moms. What's wrong with a mom, by the way? Once you have babies, you therefore are no longer able to be lethal. I mean, you're basically saying women, after they have children, can't ever serve in the military in a combat role. It's a silly thing to say. It's a silly thing to say beneath the position that you are aspiring to. To denigrate LGBTQ service members is a mistake. If you are a sharpshooter, you're as lethal regardless of what your gender identity is, regardless of who you love. So please know this to be a true statement. So you say it was a political thing. You say it undermined us, social engineering. I don't know why someone having to publicly say or not publicly say who they love is social engineering.
So there you had Senator Gillibrand, female, obviously from, well, I guess obviously from New York, talking about her disgust with the way we've seen Pete Hegseth comment about women in the military. I think it's interesting to pair that with Pete Hegseth's conversation with Senator Joni Ernst and, you know, somebody who has served in the military. We'll get to that exchange here in a minute, but we do have Jim Carafano back with us. Jim, welcome back. Sorry about that connection issue. It's good to have you back here.
That's right. And I was brilliant the whole time, too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, I mean, I don't know where we drop, but like I said, I think he's a great spokesman for peace through strength. He enjoys the trust and confidence of the president. If Republicans can't muster the votes for this guy, then there's something wrong with the Republican Party,
yeah,
period.
That's well said. Jim Carafano speaking with us right now with the Heritage Foundation. What do you think about the way we saw a lot of this in the hearing? The Democrats are very, very concerned about Pete Hegseth's the standards that he would put in and that it wouldn't be so equity faced. Where is the military standard right now and how would Pete Hegseth change it in your mind?
Yeah, I think that alone is reason that every single Republican should vote for Pete. The notion that somehow it's about equity and fairness and that's what the military. I got to tell you, in my 25 years of military experience, I never saw a situation where diversity or equity or inclusion could stop a bullet. And it's just the wrong. It is a political agenda. It's not an agenda about national security. And the notion that we would put the lives of young men and women in uniform at risk, or that the national interest of the United States at risk for a political agenda, which might be fine for, you know, liberals in California that like to see their state burned to the ground, but that we would submit the nation's safety to that is nonsense. And the fact that Democrats are angry about that shows you everything that is absolutely 1,000% wrong with the Democratic Party.
What's your take on, I won't ask you to defend necessarily Pete Hegseth's comments and the accusations being made from some of these senators on this panel, but the role of women in combat, women in the military altogether. What is your thought on that very sensitive topic?
You know, my answer has always been people that are qualified to serve should be able to serve in whatever capacity that they wanted to. We have a small, relatively small army. I mean, I'm against drafting women. Absolutely. I just think that makes no sense. That's a political agenda, but women should be able to serve in any role that they're qualified. The standard should not be compromised. And you know, I think we have to be realistic about that. I mean, we basically found that there's in the military where women are qualified to serve, we have to make incredibly accommodations to make it happen, whether it's combat players or serving on submarines. So I think all those questions are really answered. I think just the reality of the modern military. I think Pete's main point, and I think the main point of the whole thing is, what should drive service is the capacity and capability to meet the needs of the nation and not a political agenda. And I think just the politics have to stop. And I think that's what Pete stands for.
I don't know if you can speak to specifics on it, but we're speaking with Jim Carafano right now. When you talk about if you can meet the standards, you should be able to participate. I don't know specifically how the standards work out in the military. Are there different standards for men and women to meet, or do they lower all the standards so that more women can qualify?
Well, they have different physical training standards, and there are situations where we've intentionally lowered the standards of the job so that women could qualify. That I think is wrong. Look, I think there should be different physical standards for men and women because we're biologically different. That's why we should have men and women sports. That's different. I'm talking about the job qualification, for example, to serve on a special forces team or to be a combat pilot. That should be determined by the capacity and capability of the job.
You said earlier here that if these Republican senators can't vote for Pete Hegseth, then what can they vote for? Do you have any concerns about anything that happened today that might disqualify him from a Republican vote?
I don't. I don't. And I think at the end of the day, a senator really, a Republican, actually any senator, to be quite honest, look, if the Democrats cared about the future of their party, they would be looking for reasons to vote for Pete Hegseth, to show Americans that they actually care more about the country than the Democratic political agenda. So I think Democrats that voting against this, they're just reminding the American people of why their party is in the minority.
Jim, before we let you go, I want to play a quick clip from you. Yesterday, we got a final foreign policy speech from President Biden in Washington, D.C., and he said this to reporters.
Let's get something in mind about the border. When I became president, the numbers came way down, number one. Number two, we had a circumstance where I pushed very hard for a bipartisan agreement to put more people on the border, more Secret Service agents. And guess what? He's on the phone saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Make me look bad.
So you have Joe Biden there saying, let's get something straight about the border. When I became president, the numbers came way down. I think the casual piano music in the background is a bit apropos. What do you think about President Biden's statement there? You think he believes what he's saying?
I think the only good news here is for those joke writers on Saturday Night Live, because they know that both they have the presidential speechwriters and the president himself who can produce enormously ridiculous material for them, and who will all need jobs after, next week. So, yeah, that's my thought.
Well, I appreciate that. Jim, I believe the next time we speak, we will have a new president and a new commander in chief, and we are looking forward to those conversations throughout 2025. I would assume that there's going to be a rapid change of pace. Are you looking forward to next week and everything that comes afterwards?
You know, so if we have a chance, and I know I'm on travel next week, but I hope we get a chance to talk. We should have the conversation that we had 4 years ago. We talked about what's going to happen under 4 years of Joe Biden. And we talked about massive illegal immigration, our enemies not respecting us, our undermining the instruments of national security, all of which turned out to be 1,000% correct. And then you and I talked about that for 4 years.
Yeah.
And the rest of the conversations we have for 4 years is, I told you so, and look how right we were.
Yeah.
We should have that conversation, because I think what we're going to predict in the next 4 years is very, very different. And I will be the most surprised guy on earth if what we predict is wrong.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go find that first interview that we had after the inauguration of Joe Biden. I'm going to listen to it again, and maybe we'll play some clips and listen to your prescient comments then, and see what you have in store for us in your predictions for the years to come.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You know, the only thing that we can count on that's unchanged from the last president to this president, that the Annie Fry Show is the best thing going. That doesn't change.
As long as you're here with us, Jim Carafano, we appreciate you. Thank you. Take care. We appreciate Jim. He's so kind and generous, and always good to have him. Thank you for sticking with us as we work through some of those phone issues. Jim Carafano, we will schedule. I'm going to do that, because I'm sure he does that on all the radio hits that he makes throughout the course of a day. But he was so specific about how bad things were going to be. And I remember being like, Jim, you're killing me here. That sounds really, really terrifying. And he's like, that's the way it's going to be. And then, like clockwork, weeks go by. What he said was going to happen did. He said that that immigration was going to be the leading issue of the 2024 election. And if it wasn't, it was tied for first. Jim is right. We're always glad to have him here. We're going to take a quick break. We've got two senators that we want to visit with in this Pete Hegseth confirmation process. One of yours and one of mine, or maybe one of ours. Do you want Tammy Duckworth first or do you want Eric Schmidt first? Schott, Chaser. Which one? I feel like we gotta hunker down and listen to Tammy Duckworth and then cap it off with a little Eric Schmidt after that. Maybe we'll do that. We want to know what you think about the Pete Hegseth confirmation. Will Pete Hegseth be confirmed as Secretary of Defense? Yes or no? We need to know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. You can come there. You can leave a vote, yes or no, and you can also comment. Joe says Pete will ride in on the Trump wave. Officer Gary said, think we can start calling him Secretary of Defense Hegseth. And Dirk said, I chose yes. It just seemed like the right answer. What do you think? We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe. Writing's on the wall.
Is about whether you are qualified to be Secretary of Defense. And one of the qualifications, to answer my colleague's question, is to actually win the votes of every member of this committee and to be confirmed by the United States Senate. And you need to convince us that you're worthy of that vote, because the people of the state of Illinois voted for me to be their senator so that I could cast that vote when it comes to picking who is going to be the next Secretary of Defense.
Hello, Senator Duckworth, my senator. Before you move on, I will remind you that we've got three Illinoisans here, and I haven't polled the audience in the room, but I am in Illinois. I did not vote for you, and I did vote for Donald Trump, and Pete Hegseth is Donald Trump's nominee. So before you take your faux outrage, she gets super emotionally charged in her questioning of Pete Hegseth here. Please don't appropriate the anger of the Illinoisans who you represent as a whole as some sort of indication that this line of questioning is on behalf of all Illinoisans. Because in the same vein that you can say that, you got to think about the people who in Illinois did shift towards Donald Trump more than they have before. I mean, in Illinois, of all places, blue Illinois, there's still a shift away from the nonsense of the Democrats who are driving that state into the ground. And when she said that at the beginning about how Pete Hegseth's responsibility is to earn her vote for confirmation, I don't even really think that that's how it works. Pete Hegseth is a nominee of Donald Trump, and it's his responsibility, Pete Hegseth's responsibility, to go answer questions with truth and honesty and integrity as they are asked to him, as he would utilize his own personal experience and job description for the position of Secretary of Defense. He's supposed to answer accordingly, and then they are to choose whether or not to vote for it. It is not Pete Hegseth's job to bend over backwards to make sure that Tammy freaking Duckworth is okay with him. I don't think that's even possible.
That was what I was going to say. It's not even, there's no way for that to happen.
And I will once again say that Lloyd Austin got all but two votes. For confirmation, Joe Biden's nominee got all but two votes. One was Mike Lee, and I think the other was Josh Hawley, who voted no against Lloyd Austin. So it's not like Republicans didn't come over and vote for the current guy, who's not really done the best of jobs, because look at the world. So when Tammy Duckworth, yes, she's there on behalf of representing the people of Illinois, but that means she's supposed to listen to us. That means she is there as our voice. You don't get to appropriate our voices when you're yelling at these nominees who are put there because of the people who we voted for as well. Let's listen to more of what she had to say here, because she continued to go in.
This hearing now seems to be a hearing about whether or not women are qualified to serve in combat and not about whether or not you are qualified to be Secretary of Defense. And let me just say that the American people need a SecDef who's ready to lead on day one. You are not that person. Our adversaries watch closely during times of transition, and any sense that the Department of Defense that keeps us safe is being steered by someone who's wholly unprepared for the job puts America at risk, and I am not willing to do that. With that in mind, Mr. Hegseth, I want you to try to explain to the American people, this committee, who have to vote for you, and to our troops who are deployed around the world, why you are qualified to lead the Department of Defense. We already know that you've only led the largest, a 200-person organization. We already know that you so badly mangled a budget that after you left, they had to bring in a forensic accountant to figure out what went wrong. And that the largest budget you ever managed was about $18 billion. You know, that is about 51,560 times fewer, lower than the Department of Defense budget of $825 billion. $16 million is 51,568 times smaller than the defense budget.
Okay. Like, he's not going in to be the Secretary of Defense to be solely responsible for the budgeting process. Is it possible he would have people around him who would help him with that?
I also really like when a Democrat member of Congress is lecturing somebody on
fiscal
budgetary
responsibility.
Concerns.
Well, didn't the Pentagon fail like the last seven audits of their budget?
He might be super qualified.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah.
That has been a sort of like third page story that all their audits just come back as, where the hell is the money? Where what are you doing with all this money? And so for her to say, look, this is an institution that's run really financially well. What do you think? You can just step right in and you're gonna change things for the worse, clearly?
Here's her conclusion.
We ask our troops to go into harm's way all the time. We ask them to go into harm's way. And this behind me is a copy of the Soldier's Creed, a copy that usually hangs over my desk here in the Senate. And you should be familiar with it. It's the same copy that hung over my desk at Walter Reed every single day that I woke up and fought my way back because I wanted to go back and serve next to my buddies who'd saved my life. This same copy, these words, I repeat it over and over and over again. And let me read out two things to you, two sentences. I will always place the mission first, and I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my warrior task. Mr. Hegseth, our troops follow these words every single day, and they man up and they pack their rucksacks and they go to war, and they deserve a leader who can lead them.
Now— Did she just say man up?
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I mean, she's a veteran, so... I just want to point out that a female veteran can say man up and we all get it.
Yeah, nobody even thinks about it.
I'm like, I'm in favor of that.
Yeah.
High five, Tammy. It's the best thing you've said so far.
Not a leader who wants to lower the standards for himself or raising the standards for other people. And by the way, our troops already meet the standards. We ask troops to man that ship, fight that fire, fly that helicopter until their very last breath. And they do that every single day. They cannot be led by someone who's not competent to do the job. How can we ask these warriors to train and perform the absolute highest standards when you are asking us to lower the standards to make you the Secretary of Defense simply because you are buddies with our president-elect? And by the way, he has filed for bankruptcy 6 times. I'm not quite sure he's the kind of CEO you want to refer to as a successful businessman.
Oh, she's big man.
Let me make it clear. You can't seem to grasp that there is no U.S. military as we know it without the incredible women that we serve. Women who've earned their place in their units. You have not earned your place as Secretary of Defense. You say you care about keeping our armed forces strong and that you like that our armed forces are meritocracy. Then let's not lower the standards for you. You, sir, are a no-go at this station.
That's shocking.
And that's why I'm a yes.
I didn't get the Fox News alert that Tammy Duckworth was a no vote. Let me check my phone here. No. Michelle Obama to skip a Trump inauguration. What else we have here? Some basketball updates for my son's basketball team. Thomas Helbig something. Nope. How could they not be on that breaking news that Tammy Duckworth of the state of Illinois is not voting for Pete Hegseth?
Wouldn't that be something, though?
That's negligence.
Like the end of the comedy sketch where somebody gives a terrible presentation in front of the board, and the board stands up and goes...
Slow clap.
That was the worst presentation I've ever... Like, twist.
I can't with it. And Tammy Duckworth, this is all performative for the Republicans, for the Democrats alike. It's not all performative. I shouldn't say that. It is necessary. It is important. The confirmation hearing process is important. I am glad they're not doing the vacancy appointment. What was it called? Recess. Appointments.
Recess appointments.
I'm glad they're not doing that. I'm glad this is all being put out there because at the end of the day, Pete Hegseth is still going to be confirmed as the Secretary of Defense. At least I'm a yes vote in the YouTube live chat poll today. I wonder what you are. You go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel. That's our question. Despite this shocking development... that Tammy Duckworth of the state of Illinois is likely a no vote for Pete Hegseth. Do you feel confident that he might still be able to be confirmed? Let's dip into Eric Schmidt. Shot chaser Eric Schmidt on this Senate committee, which is wonderful. My adopted senator. He was able to ask some questions, too. Are you ready to play that?
Yep.
Okay, let's listen, because I haven't heard any of this yet, so we're going to react to this live along with you.
His letter states that the suggestion, quote, the suggestion that funds were misused for personal gain, lavish parties, or other improper purposes is categorically false. Throughout my time working with Pete Hegseth, he consistently demonstrated exceptional integrity and leadership. I asked unanimous consent to enter this letter into the record.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hegseth, good to see you here today. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Senator.
And your willingness to serve. I also want to thank you for your clarity in articulating the vision you have for the Department of Defense in restoring an ethos, a warrior ethos. Which is in stark contrast to the ethos we've seen the last 4 years, which is of weakness and wokeness. And I want to drill down on a few things specifically and exactly how we've gotten to where we've gotten with recruiting and morale. DEI. There's been a little bit of discussion about this, but for those watching at home, DEI is not about giving everybody opportunity. It is rooted in cultural Marxism. The idea that you pit the room, any room, with oppressor versus oppressed. It's race essentialism, and it is poison. It has no business whatsoever in our military. I think the American people have spoken loudly and clearly about this. They're tired of this. They're tired of woke ideology. And to my Democrat colleagues on the other side, if you haven't picked up on that, you missed the plot. Because that's what November 5th partially was about. And so let's talk specifically about some of these DEI programs that have been funded. In our academies, specifically the Air Force Academy, it was advised as disfavored language to refer to your mom and dad as mom and dad. Okay? Dear mom and dad, I'm writing home. Don't say that. That's insane. We're all just people. You can't say that either. And in an effort to police this, in a 1984 Orwellian novel, there was actually an eyes and ears program to rat on your fellow students who might say mom and dad, or just say in a tough situation, you know what? We're all just people. Can't say that. This wasn't limited, by the way, to our academies. The Secretary of the Air Force, our current Secretary of the Air Force, in a memo from August of 2022, thought we had too many white officers, advocated for quotas. And if you crunch the numbers, that meant that 5,800 white officers who've worked really hard should be fired. In the United States of America, I don't know how we got here. And by the way, the Air Force isn't alone here. The Navy sort of touted a drag queen influencer. This stuff is insane. And people wonder why recruiting has dropped off. And let me just go through a few numbers, then I want to get your comments on how we fix this, because it's gone completely off the rails. In 2022, the Army missed their recruiting goal of 60,000 soldiers by over 15,000. In 2023, the Navy missed their recruiting goals by over 7,000. In 2022, the Air Force couldn't meet their standards, their numbers, even though they lowered their standards. They've lowered their standards to meet numbers they still can't get to. Mr. Hegseth, we got to fix this. I think what you've demonstrated today is that you have the talent and the ability and the desire to fix it. How are you going to fix it?
Well, Senator, thank you for the question. First and foremost, up front, you have to tear out DEI and CRT initiatives root and branch out of institutions.
100%.
And then you have to put in Army, Navy, and Air Force secretaries and others, civilian positions at the helm, who are committed to the same priorities that the President of the United States is, and if confirmed, the Secretary of Defense will be. Send a clear message that this is not a time for equity. Equity is a very different word than equality. Equality is the bedrock of our military. Men and women, duty positions in uniform, black, white, doesn't matter. We treat you equally based on who you are in the image of God as an individual. And we all get the same bad haircuts. You're not an individual, you're part of a group. Equity prescribes some sort of an outcome based on differing attributes that we have that divide us. What skin color are you? What gender are you? And then infuse that into institutions which manifest in things like quotas, formal or informal, which does what to morale? Sends it in the tubes. And it makes people feel like they're being judged by something other than how good they are at their job, which is poisonous inside institutions.
So on top of this recruiting crisis, that wasn't enough for this administration. During the COVID hysteria and in their attempt to fire 100,000 people who worked for bigger companies because they didn't get the COVID shot, or to mask five-year-olds, they decided also to make this a central plank in their policy at the Pentagon. 8,000 well-trained, so we got a recruiting crisis, 8,000 well-trained men and women were fired. Will you commit today, Mr. Hegseth, to recruit these folks back, to give them back pay, and give them an apology from the United States government for how they were disrespected?
Senator, I will commit to this because the Commander-in-Chief has committed to this, that not only will they be reinstated, they will receive an apology, back pay, and rank that they lost because they were forced out due to an experimental vaccine.
Thank you. And I'm a limited time, but I just want to say, for all the talk of experience and not coming from the same cocktail parties that permanent Washington is used to, you are a breath of fresh air. And again, if you weren't paying attention to what this election was all about, it was about the disruptors versus the establishment. And the American people have had enough of business as usual for the same people that we line up for these same jobs who give us the same results. We need somebody who's going to go in there and fight for innovation, fight for change. I think you're that person. And I appreciate your willingness to sit here and listen to some of these undignified attacks. It's ridiculous. Thank you.
Captain Mark Kelly.
Well, there you have Pete Hegseth sitting there along the lines with Eric Schmidt. And I, for one, like Eric Schmidt's reaction there.
He just summed up the entire reason.
Everything.
That they're there today doing this with Pete Hegseth. That's it.
Yeah.
Right there.
Pete Hegseth was one of the original nominees that I was like, really? You know, like it comes through and you're thinking cabinet members, when you're thinking about people being appointed to these positions, you're thinking these are going to be people that we don't really know because they're busy doing things in places that aren't in front of our eyeballs. They're in more important places. You're like, Pete Hegseth, I'm familiar with that guy.
So I'm listening to that the whole time going, man, this is, he's summing it up. He's going right in on not just the how are you going to do this, how are you going to do that, the reason why Pete Hegseth was nominated to that position. All the controversy and all of the upside and the downside, this is why. Yes, it's different. But that's what he said right at the end. I was going to say, oh, this is the disruptors versus the establishment. And then Eric Schmidt goes, this is the disruptors versus the establishment.
Well, you gave him that line.
Well, I mean, it's something we say here in Missouri a lot.
When we come over here to work.
Yeah.
We've been listening to the story surrounding the confirmation of Pete Hegseth. We talked to Joe Concha at 1225 about it. Jim Carafano at 105 about it. Those will be on our podcast. Go to anniefryshow.com/podcast to hear all of that. But I also encourage you to check out the Odyssey app where you can get everything Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk, audio-wise. You can connect there. And it's a great way to stream the station as well. Quick break. When we come back, we'll get to the guy's thoughts here. I've already said, I think, yes, absolutely, Pete Hegseth will be confirmed as Secretary of Defense. That's the YouTube live chat poll. Got to get your vote in right now. Maybe they'll look after we've, you know, Eric Schmidt's taking Ryan Wiggins' lines. Maybe they'll check the Annie Fry Show poll and Tammy Duckworth might change her mind. Maybe not. We'll see. We'll be right back.
Does Beyonce have a song that starts like that?
Heck yeah, she does.
What is it?
Bootylicious.
Bootylicious starts like that?
Yeah, pull it up.
I didn't know that. You said, ooh, which one is it? And I'm like, well, it's got to be Edge of 17.
Brett, get it.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Bootylicious.
All right, Bootylicious.
But don't you don't need to do it. Can you play it over there? I guess you can.
I could.
You could.
Yep, there it is.
I'm surprised that you're not familiar.
I'm not.
Stevie Nicks is in the Bootylicious video.
Really? How did I not know this? Now, because if Stevie Nicks is in it, I should have known that. I'm not a Beyonce fan, but
I think it might have been Destiny's Child.
It is. Yeah, and I know the song.
Do we have it?
Yeah. Yep. Let's see if this works.
My body's too bootylicious for you, babe.
Body's too. See?
What?
Heck yeah. With a little eek in it, you know?
Yeah, a little wiki wiki. Kelly, can you handle this? Michelle, can you handle this? Beyonce, can you handle this?
I don't think they can handle this. It's a little different.
It is a little different.
Stevie Nicks is in the video at some point, if not at the beginning.
Does she just walk through in the background, or is she like a part of it?
It's intentional.
It's intentional?
Yeah. Okay.
She wasn't just there.
That's a great song. Both of them. I like both of them. I wanted to touch on this article from that spawned out of our show. Something happened yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Something happened yesterday, and our show created an article for Andy McCarthy on the National Review.
It's cool.
I'm an idiot, and I said that I was going to ask, was it Brad's?
Can you clip that, please?
Shush. I knew. I was waiting. I even gave you a minute. And then you decided to interrupt me and ask me. I'm an idiot. Yesterday when we opened the phone lines at 1225, we had a caller ask us if Donald Trump's convicted felon status would preclude him from being able to travel to other countries. And I was like, well, we've got Annie McCarthy on at 125. I'll ask him. Then I forgot.
Yeah, it's funny.
So, thank you. You know, it's my job here to entertain you, so it was really intentionally for you.
Yeah.
Because I care.
Plus, I get paid to be entertained.
Someone said that they thought you were independently wealthy and you were doing this for a hobby.
I'll get there.
That's the goal. It's a 2025 goal.
Yeah. That's my New Year's resolution.
That's why you're in radio.
Yeah.
Obviously. So I realized, Ryan came in, he's like, did you ask Andy McCarthy about the traveling felon thing? I was like, gosh, no. So I contacted Andy McCarthy, and I asked him that question, and his response to me, I'm going to pull up this little discussion that we had yesterday. He said, Annie, that's a great question. We've been thinking about voting rights and gun possession rights, but I hadn't thought about international travel. Let me look into that. I'll get back to you. That was at 5 o'clock yesterday. At 7:07 p.m., he says, You can take credit for making me look into this. And he sent me the National Review article that he wrote after having researched this very issue. And I can't take credit for that. Was it Brad or Brandon?
Brandon.
Oh, yeah, probably somebody. Call it.
Do you even listen to the show?
No.
I think it was Brandon. It was Brandon. Yeah.
I was just hoping Andy McCarthy would be like, did your co-host bring that up? And you'd be like, yeah, he did after the fact.
Yeah, but I'm sure that's exactly how that conversation would have
been. Well, let's read the article.
Brandon asked that question. I told you that I would get an answer for you. I didn't do it on the air, but what I did get is in writing from Andy McCarthy on National Review via your question. So any sort of credit that would be coming my way from Andy McCarthy appropriately would be handed directly to the wise beyond their years callers of this show. So he wrote this article in National Review. I'm going to tweet it out here. Actually, I tweeted it out last night. So you can go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, or no, Annie Fry X page. I will retweet it after this segment gets over here. But the headline is, as a convicted felon, Trump faces foreign travel restrictions. The third paragraph, he says, many significant countries, including the world's most significant country, the United States, do not permit the entry of non-citizens who have criminal records. As Forbes reports, the following countries other than the United States bar convicted felons: India, China, Japan, Iran, the United Kingdom, South Africa, Kenya, Argentina, Canada, mm-hmm. Australia. He should just run across the border.
And then run back.
And then back and be like, see, how do you like it? Taiwan, Cuba, Israel, New Zealand, and is it Macau? I've never even heard that. M-A-C-A-U?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm going with Brad on this one.
Yes.
This is Macau.
He said several other countries, the report adds, do not require... gosh, this keeps refreshing. Several other countries, the report adds, do not inquire into criminal records as a regular part of their admissions. He said even countries run by leftist regimes that would otherwise love to embarrass Trump need things from the United States. Hence, the incoming administration will undoubtedly secure waivers from any countries to which President Trump will want or need to travel. Indeed, the Forbes report notes that Canada gave President George W. Bush a waiver because his then quarter-century-old misdemeanor DUI conviction would have been a basis to exclude him.
Oh, interesting. So there's precedent.
They're going to get Trump on waivers.
It's off the IL.
I thought that was pretty cool. The Annie Fry Show just got a little bit of a notch in the movement of the story of Donald Trump as a convicted felon.
I am surprised that they actually have to do that much, that they have to go through the process of getting waivers.
It won't matter when he gets overturned on appeal.
Yeah, that's true. Wink.
And nod. I'm going to go and I'm going to repost that right now. There's another story that we're going to touch upon as soon as we get back. Have you heard the stuff around Michelle Obama?
Well, depending
on
the stuff.
No, not that stuff.
Which stuff?
No, the recent thoughts about Michelle Obama, where she is, where she isn't?
A little bit.
We're going to talk about that when we come back. There's a recent story posted today about Michelle Obama and the Trump inauguration. Is she going to be there sitting next to her husband? We'll talk about that when we come back and if it even matters. So you're going to keep it right here. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Will Pete Hegseth be confirmed as Secretary of Defense? Yes or no? We want to know what you think. You can leave your comments, too. We'll add them to the conversation. John, watching us on Rumble, said yes for Pete. Think he's going to get in there. All right. Let's give it back to Stevie Nicks here for a second. When we come back, we'll talk about that Michelle Obama stuff and a few more fun things in the 2 o'clock hour on the Annie Fry Show. Don't go away.